for a moment, even though we're in front of Giriraj, everyone just close your eyes and no peeking. Close tightly and think of where you were 7 days ago, 1 week ago. Think where you were 1 week ago. Today is what day of the week?
Sunday.
Last Sunday, think of where you were and what you were doing. Some of you may have been at work. Some may have been wandering around Vrindavan even. Some may have been on a crowded subway somewhere in some city in the West. But think of where you were 1 week ago. Now, forget that and think of where you were 2 days ago. 2 days ago, that means on Friday, and what you were doing. Pick a point in time and think of what you were doing 2 days ago, how you were feeling. And now, come closer in time to yesterday. Now it's exactly 1:30. 1:30 yesterday, where were you? Some of you were on planes, perhaps. Some of you were preparing. 1:30 yesterday. Keep your eyes closed. And now just look at Giriraj and think of where you are now. It is said that without taking shelter of a great person, one's desires remain unfulfilled. That is a negative way of making a statement. But here is the same statement in the positive. If one takes shelter of a great person, one's desires can become fulfilled. And here we are, Hantayan Adriya Dasa Haridasa Varjo. We're directly at the lotus feet of Giriraj Govardhan, who is the greatest of great devotees, and calling the person who called Giriraj Haridasa Varjo the greatest of devotees is no one other than Srimati Radharani herself. So here we are at Giriraj Govardhan, and by approaching a great person, all of one's desires can become fulfilled. Take a moment and think of what that means. All of one's desires can become fulfilled by taking shelter of a great person. Now, what we will do for the next 10 minutes is something called free writing. Everyone should have one pad or a book in front of them and one pen in their hand. And for 10 minutes, I want you to write. I want you to write about whatever comes into your mind. No one is going to read this. But I want your thinking to gradually come to Giriraj Govardhan. And when approaching a great person, one thing that is extremely important is to open one's heart. Because according to our heart and how open we are, how receptive we are, Giriraj Govardhan can reciprocate with us. The rule in this writing for 10 minutes is only one. One rule only. And that is, make it two rules. The first, be honest. And the second, keep your pen moving the whole time for 10 minutes. Especially those of you who are computer addicts have forgotten how to write using a pen, perhaps. So this will be very good exercise. keep your hand moving for 10 minutes. And even if you don't know what to write, you can write, I don't know what to write. I don't know what to write. Oh, Giriraj, help me. Help me, Giriraj, please. But just keep writing for 10 minutes. No other rules. And then we'll say what we will do with that in a moment. Is everyone ready? Any question? Keep writing. Begin now. Now, quickly read what you've written and underline what comes closest to the deepest and most honest heartfelt desire you have to be here in the shelter of Giriraj Govardhan. Underline that, and it should be one sentence. And it's interesting when you read what you've written, how far you've come in your first 10 minutes under the shelter of Giriraj Govardhan. Underline what comes closest to your honest answer to the question, why am I here? What is my desire? And write that one sentence. Make sure you can easily get to it if you have to write it again so it's easy for you to see.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
I would like to describe to all of you the history of this Govardhan retreat, how we came to formulate the idea to make such a retreat, and some of the, let us say, strong encouragements from our sides, how to make this retreat very valuable for you. As you have heard, this retreat is already going on for 4 years. Always 2 days after Kartik, or 3 days, or 4 days after Kartik, we all invite devotees to Giriraj's lotus feet, where we, here in the shade of the wish-fulfilling trees, about subjects which make our own Krishna consciousness deeper. This idea came about, I believe, between Burijam Prabhu and Braj Bihari Prabhus, who have both conducted many seminars throughout ISKCON. They have brought about this idea of Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education, and Burijam Prabhu has been very instrumental in bringing this idea of what our movement has to actually offer to the devotees into some practical shape. We are all about giving information which helps the individual, really. Now, these seminars or Vrindavan Institute for Education has been going on. Mayapur Institute for Education has grown out of it. In London, an endeavor which is called VTE, the Vaishnava Training and Education, was inspired by these endeavors. But the devotees felt we need to really offer something beyond this information of Krishna conscious philosophy. We need to really offer to the devotees something which is about transformation of the heart. You can have so much in your head, if your heart remains the same, you actually remain the same. Even this knowledge can make you more proud and more dangerous for yourself, to yourself and the rest of humanity. If the heart is not transformed, knowledge alone will not help you. So the idea which brought about this Govardhan retreat was, we need to transform our hearts, as you all know most properly. There is a verse penned by Sanatan Goswami who says, who compares the transformation of the heart with an alchemical process, whereby which one metal is transformed into another metal, that is gold. The process of Krishna consciousness is doing the same. One type of heart, that is an egoistic heart, is hoped to be transformed in a Krishna-centered heart, where you think about Krishna, where you love Krishna, more 100 million times more than your own life breath. This is a hard thing. Who can transform the heart? How to go about doing this? And we came together. By now, I was mercifully dragged into Burijan Prabhu's and Braj Bihari's thought process. And we three decided, to transform the heart, a tremendous power of mercy is necessary. Where do we get this? And we had certain answers. We had, for instance, the answer that the dust of Vrindavan is very powerful, and Haridasa Vaya, the best of Krishna's servants, Giriraj, is very powerful in doing this. My dear devotees, I want to tell you, or to open your eyes to the fact that this seminar is totally different than any other seminar which you hear in ISKCON and outside ISKCON. I think also outside of ISKCON, because we wish the seminar to be something which is, let me say, which becomes a spiritual experience to each one of you, an experience which transforms your heart, so that finally you have gold in your heart. You are a Krishna-centered devotee, in other words, and you can go back with this golden heart to Radha and Krishna and serve the divine couple. And this is, you could say, we have chosen this place, Giriraj, because we want Giriraj, a transcendental personality, to do this. There's a verse by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, and now all of you who sleep have to become awake. Ekanti Sevika. It actually says, this verse, that the dust of Vrindavan has the lotus footprint of Radha and Krishna in it. We are sitting now in the dust, and we sit under the shade of these kalpa vrikshas. And the darshan of Lord Giriraj will wash all the contaminations from your heart and give you love of Krishna. And we also do this now. We are certain that Giriraj has accepted our experiment. There was 1 year, I believe it was the last year or 1 year back, where we tried to make the setting a little bit more modern, a little bit more comfortable. We put a pandal here, means a shade, some cloth in the air, to make some nice, like a nice seminar place. We thought maybe chairs, everyone should sit on chairs. But then some Brijbasis came and they made such an, let me say, resistance to the pandal that we had to take it down again. Now we know that Giriraj acts through devotees, and his dear devotees are obvious, are the Brijbasis, those persons who are born here. They didn't appreciate it. Giriraj wanted us to remain without a roof over our heads. You can certainly sit on chairs, but it will not be a Western chair arrangement. We will try to be simple and just gaze at Giriraj as much as we can. And this will do all the job of which is necessary. The mercy of the dust of Vrindavan and the mercy of Giriraj will do a work which nobody else can do in this universe. It will do the work to transform your heart. I will now give you a verse. I will warn you what is going to come. Go ahead, wave your incense, ring your bells, you Hare Krishnas, and call the names of your God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But don't be astonished if he actually comes and he will take you into his forge. Forge means a place where the blacksmith works. He will light up his fire, and he will put you on his anvil. Anvil means emboss play. And then he will bang on you, because he finally wants to make ordinary iron into pure gold. Giriraj will not torture you. Giriraj's treatment is very merciful. He will not beat you, don't worry. But what Giriraj will do is he will transform we hope to that he does this in our case, at least, our ahammameti concepts into I wish to serve you. He will transform our heart, which is stone-like, into a soft heart full of love. If you come like this and you are readily offering yourself to Giriraj, he will do this for you. So, I will end now. My dear devotees, please understand, Krishna consciousness is not about what others do or don't do, but it is really about your own transformation of the heart, your own dedication. And this transformation of the heart can be, how do you say, affected efficiently by the power of the divine personality of Godhead. You may not see Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may be very far away, and the holy name of Lord Krishna may be something you look up to, and you pray, hopefully one day you will touch my heart. But you cannot escape Giriraj. He is only 50 meters away from you. He is there. He has always been there. He has noticed you. And he now makes a plan what to do with you. You have to just open your heart, and the more open you become to Giriraj, the more this seminar will work. This is not so much an educational retreat. It is a transformational retreat. And I want to request all of you to take full advantage in the time which you spend here of Giriraj's mercy. Look at him, look at him, pray to him, and you will see 100% you will leave this place differently. You can make this test. It's something very practical. It's something very, very real.
Yes.
Hare Krishna. This is something about the history. So we do this since 4 years, and we always come to the same spot, the trees know us already. And Giriraj has not changed. I see the same stones which I have on my pictures, which I carry all over. Same sitting places for the divine couple. He's there and you are there. And now let the two connect. Hare Krishna. Giriraj Maharaj ki jai.
So I accepted the responsibility in that regard. So many people, those who are not living in Vrindavan, who are very much familiar with Govardhan, they ask time to time, well, who is Govardhan, actually? Sometimes I hear that Govardhan is Krishna and he's worshipped with a peacock feather, but you're saying all the time that he's a devotee. So who is he? Can you explain this so that I can understand? Because with a little clearer understanding, it will be easier for me to actually approach Giriraj with a clearer mind. And so I was thinking about this and reflecting on how this material world where we live now, Krishna has made it for those who don't want to live in Goloka Vrindavan. There's really only two places that one can reside. One can reside in the spiritual world with Krishna, or one can come to this material realm, Devi Dham, where the living entity has an opportunity to continuously change bodies and change his situation as he likes. If he likes, he can become a demigod and live with luxury. If he likes, by way of his habits and tastes, he can become a pig, like we have opportunity to see so many pigs in Vrindavan, covered and rolling in black sewer water, and drinking this to their heart satisfaction. Or if he likes, he can become male, female, any species he wants, he can accept that form. But in Goloka Vrindavan, the devotees who never fall into the material atmosphere, they serve Krishna in fixed relationships with him. There are five. There are four, actually, in Vrindavan, four rasas, or different relationships that can be had with Krishna in the spiritual world. And they're fully satisfied. They're so absolutely satisfied, they don't have any desire for any change. They're untransformable by any material influence. So here we are, and there's Krishna, and Krishna wants to show this transcendental Goloka Vrindavan to the residents of this condemned material world, where everyone wants to be independent, self-sufficient of God, wants to have their own things, wants to have their own place, their own everything. They want their own setup. So they're brought here. Yes, you can have. And Krishna wants to come and bring this, display his transcendental dharms, so that he can attract these unfortunate souls, which are ourselves, and so many billions more, and encourage them to return to their happiness within the spiritual realm. So in order to do that, we also know that Lord Chaitanya, he appears. It's Radha and Krishna, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Radha, Krishna, Nahi Anya. Radha and Krishna appear in the form of Lord Chaitanya in the Kali Yuga, and they give freely of this braja bhakti, this love that the residents of Vrindavan have. And Lord Chaitanya, although Radha and Krishna He performs his activities in the mood of a servant of Krishna. So this is very important, because we can approach him. He's teaching, as Srila Prabhupada says. Lord Chaitanya is teaching A, B, C, D. He's showing the example so that we, although of course his example is superlative and we cannot imitate his example, but we can see his example and observe his example and learn. So similarly, as Lord Chaitanya appears, Radha and Krishna appear in the form of Lord Chaitanya, but his mood is one of a devotee. Likewise, Radha and Krishna assume the form of Giri Govardhan. Krishna assumes the form of Giri Govardhan. If Krishna is there, Radha is there. And the mood of Giri Govardhan is the same, one of a servant. So this is a very important point in understanding. Giri Govardhan is Krishna. Krishna, he says, I myself am Govardhan Hill. We are the same. But it is Krishna in the mood of serving Radha and Krishna. And serving so nicely. Serving by, of course, we can see Giriraj here with our present eyes and our present senses. But were we to actually be evolved, and we could see how Giriraj really appears on the transcendental plane, we would see so much more. The beauty of Giriraj as he is complete. But we would see so much more of the beauty of Giriraj if our hearts were actually open to the idea of returning to our actual natural position as servants within the spiritual realm. So Giriraj, he gives the grass to the cows. He gives the trees for shade. He gives waterfalls and rivers so the boys can swim in the rivers and play on the waterfalls and drink the water. And Radha and Krishna can sit on the different stone platforms or hide in the caves of Giriraj. And on and on and on, Giriraj is considered Haridasa Varja, the most superlative servant of Hari, of Krishna, because of all the functions that Krishna, he performs in the form of Giriraj, in the mood of serving Radha and Krishna in this beautiful form that we can see before us. So Giriraj is in the mood of a servant, and we can approach him in this mood also. And when we approach him in this mood, it is very favorable for us. Because we can ask him, how can you help me so I can become also a servant? Because if I can learn also to want to serve Radha and Krishna, and to serve Krishna in any way according to my desire within the spiritual realm, then I can return to that position. I can return to the spiritual dimension, which is what actually Srila Prabhupada and all the Vaishnavas in our line and all practically all transcendentalists who are genuinely God conscious are trying to encourage us to do. But Giriraj, he's very, very comforting and he's very encouraging. And when you come, even just sitting here, as Maharaj was so nicely saying, you're sitting here, and it appears to the ordinary person's vision, it's just we're sitting beside a hill. There are so many hills of this world. But Giriraj is not a hill of this world. And so Giriraj is immediately making his own plans, making his own arrangements to satisfy our desires. And the more that our desires are ones of wishing to please Krishna, wishing to serve his desire, the more rapidly Giriraj will be able to act. And his real desire is simply that we and he be eternally engaged in the service of Krishna. So this is just a little bit of a thought, something to share with you, and I'm sure that you will hear many other wonderful things. Thank you.
Now our Jagatrini Mataji will also explain what she will speak about during this transformational seminar, unlike any in this world or any other world.
I was trying to think of how to speak something about Vrindavan, Govardhan, and Lord Chaitanya. And so I picked up the Chaitanya Charitamrita and I began to read about Lord Chaitanya's visit to Vrindavan. And there I came across a very small but very sweet section where Lord Chaitanya, I hope it's not the same section as yours, Maharaj, where Lord Chaitanya placed his hand like this and two beautiful parrots came and sat on his hand. And then he listened with great care to these two parrots as they spoke to each other and to him, describing the glories first of Krishna and then of Srimati Radharani. So when I read that, I thought to myself, I should speak about parrots. So I have found some other quotes describing the pastimes and activities of the parrots of Vrindavan.
There they are.
And here they are. And they'll come many, many times while we're here. So I'm going to speak a little on that subject. And then on the final day, we will all together, we will take parikram around Govardhan, and I hope that I can be of some service with that. Thank you.
I think it will probably be bus around Govardhan.
Around selected parts. Some get very overjoyed, though. Prashanta. Do you have your tambora handy?
Oh.
Do you know which places we'll go yet? Or is it still not yet
revealed? Gana timinandasya jana jana salakaya chaksu sumilatan jena tasmai sri gurave namah. Sri chaitanya manubhistam stapitam jena bhutale sayam rupa kadamayam dadati sapanadikam.
Giriraj, as we have been hearing, and as we know, is very special. Of course, Vrindavan Dham is so special. Being a manifestation of Krishna's blissful energies and so attractive to Krishna. I remember last year, Satchinandana Swami said something quite similar to what he said just before. He said that now we're here and we have our desires and we should keep those desires in mind. And he said that this is transformational and we'll be different persons when we leave than we are right now. It was such a bold statement, and he made it again. But I saw last year, because he said it on the first day last year, that indeed it was a fact. By the end of the seminar, everyone's heart had been moved, touched, changed, softened, purified, and a speck of Vrindavan dust had entered everyone's heart. Which means that everyone's desires had become purified. But indeed, it does happen by the incredible potency of Giriraj Govardhan. Bolo Giriraj! Giriraj Maharaj ki jai! Thank you. I would like to read, and also notice that soon as Jagatrini Mataji began talking about parrots, that's quite amazing. What are the chances that someone mentions parrots and parrots come flying by? This is the nature of Giriraj Govardhan. When someone with a sincere and open heart speaks and offers a prayer, there's immediate reciprocation. Immediate reciprocation. Please keep that in mind. I would like to, while you're keeping that in mind, I would like to read two quite short quotations. This is from Krishna book. In the description of autumn, this is the chapter title in the 10th canto of the Krishna book, which is the Krishna book, is description of autumn. But actually it describes in this chapter the rainy season and the autumn season, which follows directly the rainy season. In here, in this short section that I'll read, it just describes Vrindavan. But something very special about Vrindavan, and why Vrindavan indeed is Vrindavan, and why Vrindavanam prityaja padam ekam nagacchati. Does anyone know what that means, by the way? Krishna never takes one step. Padam ekam nagacchati. He never takes one step out of Vrindavan. What is it that Vrindavan has or does that so much tightly captures the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the degree that he does not take one step out of Vrindavan? Padam ekam nagacchati. Please listen. It's very, very simple. Vrindavan forest, this is just after the rainy season, improved from the rains and was replete with ripened dates, mangoes, blackberries, and other fruits. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his boyfriends and Lord Balaram, entered the forest to enjoy the new seasonal atmosphere. Krishna entered the forest. Why? To why? To enjoy. He is the enjoyer. This may not feel very good in the heart at different times of our life. He and not me. He, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the supreme enjoyer, and Vrindavan knows just how to satisfy him. So he entered the forest to enjoy the new seasonal atmosphere, the cows being fed by new grasses because the rains had just come. The cows became very healthy, and their milk bags were all full. When Lord Krishna called the cows by their names, who knows the name of a cow? So many came out. Krishna was calling the names of the cows individually. And each of the cows, hearing their names called by Krishna, just imagine the ecstasy that they were feeling. Krishna, whom they had given their hearts to so completely, was calling their name. So he would call them by name. And what did they do? They immediately came to him, mooing, with their tails raised perhaps. But they immediately came to him. Why? Why? Because they loved Krishna and he called them. This is the secret of Vrindavan. They love Krishna. Every living entity here, every blade of grass, every tree, every crow, everyone loves Krishna in a particular loving way, mamata, with great affection, considering him everything for them. So they came to him out of affection, and in their joyful condition, the milk began flowing from their bags because they had maternal affection for Krishna. So immediately the milk came from their milk bags. Lord Krishna was very pleased when passing through the Vrindavan forest. The Vrindavan forest is very, very big. It goes from Vrindavan town to Govardhan. Because how many forests are there in Vrindavan? Yes. So Vrindavan forest goes here to Nandagram, through Barshana. This is all in the Vrindavan forest. So When passing through the Vrindavan forest, Lord Krishna was pleased by seeing Govardhan Hill. On the bank of the Jamuna, he saw all the trees decorated with beehives pouring honey. And there were many waterfalls on Govardhan Hill, and their flowing made a nice sound. So each one of Krishna's senses were pleased. This is Govardhan Hill. Pleasing Krishna, pleasing his senses, pleasing all the devotees. And their flowing made a nice sound. And Krishna heard them as he looked into the caves of the hill. And when the rainy season was not ended completely, but was gradually turning to autumn, sometimes, especially when there was a rainfall in the forest, Krishna and his companions would sit under a tree or within the caves of Govardhan Hill, Kandara Kandara Mulai. Govardhan Hill would supply a cave, just the intimacy of the cowherd boys sitting within the caves when there was a rainfall. Did anyone ever get stuck in a rainfall with a dear friend? Yes. Yes, we probably all have at one time or another. It's something to share. It brings an intimacy. It makes the relationship more sweet. You shared something. Look what Govardhan Hill, he's supplying the facility for Krishna to share love with his dearest, most intimate devotees, satisfied being the best of the servants. When Krishna and then within the caves of Govardhan Hill, what did they do in there? It's something so simple. They enjoyed eating the ripened fruits and talking with great pleasure. When we think about God, the Parameshwara, the all-powerful one, what is the most touching thing that we can think about of him? There is nothing actually touching and intimate in the sense that it is driven by fear. Fear. But the depth of the relationship with Krishna is not driven by fear. It's driven by intimacy and love, so much love. The residents of Vrindavan don't know anything but Krishna. They love him fully in their own special way. So they would sit there and talk with Krishna very intimately. When Krishna and Balaram were in the forest, Mother Yasoda used to send them some fruits, sweetmeats, and rice mixed with yogurt, because the cowherd boys were so happy because they were with Krishna during the day. But everyone in the town of Vrindavan, they were just thinking, when is Krishna coming back? When is Krishna coming back? And they would send, Mother Yasoda would cook and send out food to him. Every hour she would send out with a boy some food to find Krishna and find out if he was okay, bring back news of Krishna. Why? She loved Krishna completely, fully. And Krishna would take the food and sit down on a slab of stone on the bank of the Jamuna and call his friends to join him. While Krishna and Balaram and their friends were eating, they watched the cows, the calves, and the bulls. The cows appeared to be a little tired from standing with their heavy milk bags, and by sitting and chewing grass, they became happy. And Krishna was pleased to see them happy. In this little passage, so much is there. It is a picture of Vrindavan. It is a picture of Vrindavan where we are all meant to enter, as Prabhupada called his own magazine, Back to Godhead. Back home, back to Godhead. This is Vrindavan. This is our home. This is our home. It was Prabhupada's home. It is our home. And it is not by a small chance that Prabhupada's practically his last request while in this world was to come to Govardhan. So how fortunate we are. Two verses written by Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati describing Vrindavan. Simple verses, but verses that give us a hint. They are a key to open the door. But listen carefully. Listen. One will certainly attain unlimited good fortune if he worships this land of Vrindavan, whose sweetness is unlimited. We are hankering for unlimited sweetness, but in the material world, every sweet we taste has sand mixed in it, leaving a bitter taste. One will certainly attain unlimited good fortune if he worships this land of Vrindavan, whose sweetness is unlimited, whose beauty is unlimited, whose effulgence is unlimited, whose love of Krishna is unlimited, whose compassion and magnanimity. What does magnanimity mean? Greatness, generosity, compassion, and generosity of heart are unlimited. We need, at least I need, unlimited compassion and magnanimity. And whose glories are also unlimited. The second text. O most dear Vrindavan. This is the mood of someone who has captured dust of Vrindavan and keeps it continuously in his heart. O most dear Vrindavan, O supremely blissful Vrindavan, if I could see the beauty of your animate and inanimate inhabitants with millions of divine eyes today, if I could smell your fragrance with millions of noses, if I could hear about your transcendental qualities with millions of ears, if I could wander about within your land with millions of legs, and if I could offer you obeisances with millions of heads, still I would not be satisfied. Vrindavan will light a fire in your heart that will not be satisfied by any amount of fuel within this world. There is one verse that I can't remember. Oh, but it talks about what does Vrindavan do? It turns people into madmen wandering around like beggars, penniless, not caring about their eating, their sanity, how they look. Wandering around, just calling out,
Radhe!
What? I couldn't hear you.
Radhe!
Yes! This is Vrindavan Dham. We want, perhaps, a spark of the fire of Vrindavan Dham to enter our hearts. And then if we carefully tend that fire, we want it to blaze and burn to ashes everything else except the kind of desires spoken of by Prabodhananda Saraswati. Now, when I was thinking about what I was going to speak about here at the retreat, I ended up writing somewhat of a poem, but it's not a real poem, but it contains the essence of what I will speak about. And I'll do something that I never do, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to stand up as I read it. Usually I'm a sitting down speaker, but I'm going to stand. Oh. Have any of you climbed mountains? Are you mountain climbers? Yes, there's some mountain climbers. Yes, you are a mountain climber. No. A mountain is so high. So high. Yes? Yes. Saki Giri Pavit. Yes, climb. This is entitled The Flute Song from Atop the Mountain, which is the title of the classes, seminars that I, my part. The Flute Song from Atop the Mountain. It's a metaphor. It's a way to describe something that we hope to do. I'm below, looking up. And some come down and tell, or write or carry books about sights and sounds from high, of a flute song from atop the mountain. I boldly glance and glimpse distant wonders, all I've dreamed and longed. Faintly through clouds I see Uttama, Uttama, Uttama Bhakti atop the highest mountain peak. The gopis of Vrindavan, hearing the song of Krishna's flute, are mad in ecstatic love. Instructions ring from high. O you desiring to taste, decrease bodily attachment, increase attachment to Krishna, Giridhari Gopal, for lust and love differ like pig iron and pure gold. Let the ocean of desire for loving service overflood your shark-filled rivers of selfishness. Hearing that, I consider. Desire is yearning to attain mountain heights. Capacity is ability to climb. Without desire, why brave the steep ascent? Without capacity, who has reached a lofty peak? I then examine myself. Desire? Capacity? O mind, give birth to humility, to surrender, to dependence. Beg mercy from Mahaprabhu. Reach out for Prabhupada's blessings. Preach in gratitude for unearned gifts. By the mercy of Giriraj Govanan, may a drop of desire enter our hearts. By his mercy, let that drop be nourished by a drop of humility. May we all become soaked by a cloudburst of mercy from Giriraj Govanan. May we chant Hare Krishna with softened hearts like babies crying for mother. May Giriraj Govanan's blessings join with those of Govinda and Gopinath, Nittai and Gaur, and Sri Rupa's follower, Srila Prabhupada, with the blessings of all Vaishnavas and the holy names of Krishna, may we drink deeply of Krishna consciousness and become happy, longing to hear and serve the song of the flute from atop the mountain. Four.
Bolo Giriraj Govardhan ki jai, Giriraj Maharaj ki jai, Giriraj Dharan ki. Gradually, gradually louder. So, we'll tomorrow on the there's four classes that I have the fortune to give. The first is talking about this metaphor of climbing the mountain, which means combining desire and our capacity. So we'll speak about that on the first day, and we shall hear some of Prabhupada's words on this. And on the second day, we will get some climbing instructions from Sanat Kumar while he's instructing Prithu Maharaj. And we have mentioned in brief what those instructions are and how to increase the desire, how to increase that desire and make sure that the burning increases and doesn't become put out by what? By material desires. The third class is the difference between here and there. We will discuss lust and love. And when we understand what the difference between lust and love is, then we will be able to get a glimpse, perhaps from afar and perhaps through the clouds of my consciousness, but we will be able to glimpse on top of the mountain, and we will hear about how the gopis react in the 21st chapter of the 10th canto. We shall hear how the gopis react, the uttama, uttama, uttama bhaktas, the purest of lovers of Krishna who reside on the highest of the mountain peaks in Braja, how they react when they hear the sound of Krishna's flute. And it is nothing to do with this world. So in the third class, we shall discuss the difference between lust and love. And then in the fourth class, we will discuss hope for the hopeless, which is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then expanding our hope, the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So the class that I will be giving will have two parts. First part, we'll hear Prabhupada's words and discuss some philosophy. And then in the second part, we shall hear from the 21st chapter of the 10th canto, how the gopis react when they hear Krishna's flute. So that will be the topic that I will attempt to discuss.
Well, I will require to set up. I have also a little surprise for you, and I need to set it up. It will exactly take the time which you require to chant one round. So please chant or do something. And in 7 minutes we are
a complete journal of your journey and transformation here by the mercy of Giriraj Govardhan. So please start writing now. Right. It's the right thing to do.